snake oil, we would call it. But it's dangerous. Then inventors of evil, not content to just flow in the stream of predictable evil, finding new ways to do evil. So all the different crimes, cyber crimes, all the different ways you can be the victim of theft, just constantly. The creativity of depravity is fascinating. And then we're told that they disobey their parents. This picture here, it's a readiness to lie to your parents. A readiness to be false to those really to whom you owe the most. Think about it. Think about a child looking in the face of a mom and lying to that mom when that mom gave you birth, nurtured you, cares for you, will be the one right by your bedside when you're sick. And yet, the culture willingly, gleefully disobeys parents. And then he launches into four words that they stand alone, they're good words, but he's put that alpha privative in front of it that negates it. Foolish means without meaningful intelligence. You know that, don't you? You can have a list of degrees behind your name as long as a thermometer. But if you're not thinking God's thoughts, you're a fool. The scripture says that. Children, listen to me. Don't go to your peers for advice. That's pooling ignorance. God gave you parental authorities who will help you along the way. They've been there. They've hit the potholes. Don't be foolish. Faithless. At its origin means casually, consistently breaking agreements. Can't be trusted. Cannot be trusted. Trust broken is hard to get back. Can be gotten back, but it's hard. Heartless. This means without natural affection. So he hasn't even left the idea of the women leaving relationships with men and taking up relationships with women and men doing the same with men. Without natural affection. Heartless. Ruthless. Without pity. Without mercy. So you can drift far enough away from God when you do not approve of God. Then you can really get into a mentality that says, they deserved it. Any wickedness is justified without mercy. And then verse 32 sums this up. Though they know God's righteous decree. Remember I said, we read it from Ecclesiastes early on in this, that he's put eternity in their hearts. And Paul's going to demonstrate in chapters 2 and chapters 3 that both Gentiles and Jews have access to a law of God to know good and evil. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. This list I've just read to you, the scripture says the practice of these things is the death penalty by God's standard. The death penalty. Those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, so with abandon, they've cast off all restraint, Psalm 2, but they give approval to those who practice them. Come on. Live a little. You only go around once in life. Grab for all the gusto you can get. Don't be so puritanical. Don't let them hold you down. God's a big cosmic killjoy. Don't you deserve a little happiness? And they're driving people to hell. And we step in with the gospel, the message of life, that says, as we've sung, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. No matter how far away you've gone, you can be brought back by the mercy of God. Yes, we need to speak the truth about the condemnatory nature of such practices, but they don't need to think that we're the ones condemning them. We're the ones pleading with them to flee the wrath that is coming. We're the ones that begging them, saying, I was there. I deserved to be destroyed. And yet God had mercy on me, and He will have mercy on you if you will repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. He will have mercy on you. That's our message. That's our promise. That's our hope. And so we have this double-edged gospel. It is the righteousness of God that is our hope. And it is received by faith and continued in by faith. And what makes that so critical is that no son of Adam, no daughter of Eve can on his own, on her own, work their way to God. Because the gospel is also a revelation of the wrath of God. And unless you have come savingly to Christ, you are this very moment under the wrath of God. And my appeal to you is flee the wrath. Flee. And you don't know anybody living who has pink under the fingernail who is outside the reach of this mercy we're talking about. And you can say to them with biblical authority that though you have abandoned God, He has promised because of Christ that if you will repent where you are, trust in Him, He will receive you. You will be His. All will be forgiven as if it never happened. That's what justification is. Justification is God regarding sinners just as if I had never sinned. Ours is a glorious gospel. It has to be. Because we live in a day of great, great wickedness. When you get discouraged, remember Jesus Christ. The tomb is still empty, folks. The tomb is still empty. There's not a law they can pass that will put Jesus back in the grave. The tomb is still empty. So go into this culture. Don't be like it. We're going to look at Romans 12, which tells us not to be like it. Go into this culture with the good news. But call sin sin. We do no one any favors if we adapt language as if there's alternate lifestyles that are okay. We do no one any favors. We talk about the Holocaust of abortion and treat the woman as if she's a victim too. We must call sin a sin. Because only in folks coming face to face with their sin will they see their need of a Savior. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Believe the gospel. Find hope in the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, again we pray. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for You. Oh, we tremble. We tremble. We see the wrath of God. We tremble. I tremble, Lord. I tremble to think You could have poured out Your wrath upon me, and nobody could have raised a voice to protest. And I look at our culture and how hell-bent it is. And I pray, dear God, have mercy. Save the man occupying the White House. Save these servants of the demons in Congress. Save our family members, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our enemies. Save them for Your glory, for Your glory, for their good. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we prepare to close.